This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Hello. In the traditional motion picture story, the villains are usually defeated. The ending is a happy one. I can make no such promise for the picture you're about to watch. The story isn't over. You and the audience are part of the conflict.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
9-3-0-2-8.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
The government, Republicans and Democrats, were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people could be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American that I'm talking about? I suspect you are, but that's just me. Welcome to the show. Got a very, very special show for you today. And we're going to be, for this hour anyway, we're going to be playing the full and complete, without commercial interruption, the Dave Janda interview of Paul Preston about New California. And it's kind of interesting because Dave informs Paul on air that President Trump is listening to the show. Isn't that interesting? So we're going to be playing for that. We're going to get started with that in just a few minutes. Actually, a minute or two. Also, we're going to be talking to a victim of sex trafficking who's coming out publicly to talk about and let everybody know about sex trafficking and how that works. That's going to be in the third hour. Definitely want to stay with that one. Definitely want to be a part of what's going on here on this show, on this one. Because, again, we're talking about trafficking in human flesh and slavery, which, of course, is exactly what the left does all the time. All the time. Okay, so what we're going to do right now, though, is I'm going to play for you the complete interview, 30 minutes worth, a commercial-free, uninterrupted, by us, of this Dr. Dave Janda, a good friend of ours, very good friend, out of Michigan, national show. I was interviewed Sunday as I was exiting the Gene Autry Museum in Los Angeles. I was interviewed by Mr. Janda, Dr. Janda. It was a wonderful interview, and I highly recommend listening to his radio show. Okay, so here we go. Let's check it out. I may be going to hell in a bucket, baby. Release them, enjoy the ride. Catchy tune right there. We're gonna play it here a little bit. I'll talk over.
And now, here we go. More Operation Freedom. Freedom. With your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham! Talk 1600. Call Dave now at 822-1600. That's 734-822-1600.
That's Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at Wham! Talk 1600. Again, this show will be up in podcast form for you at DaveJanda.com by 9 p.m. this evening. It is specifically for our subscribers, the podcast. In addition to all of our other content, we do have a tremendous amount of free content on DaveJanda.com. I hope you'll join us at least for the free content. And then we also have our YouTube channel at Operation Freedom. We put up one YouTube presentation about 6-7 minutes every week. Getting a lot of feedback, a lot of actual positive feedback. We also had some feedback from the trolls, but it just shows how desperate and panicked the trolls are and the globalist system is based on some of the comments we're seeing come back. Folks, I am honored to have back with me someone who is an incredible freedom fighter. You know, it's interesting. When I look at our demographics, we had over folks from over 82 countries either listen to this show live, this is from around the world, listen to this show live this past week, or download the podcast. We had folks from all 50 states. And our single greatest subscriber base and listener base is actually out of the state of California, by far. This individual is based in California, Paul Preston, and Paul is an incredible freedom fighter and has pointed out how we can get on the right side, if you will, of freedom, how we can defeat the globalist syndicate. Let me give you a little background on Paul. Paul Preston is of Agenda 21 Radio. He has been determined to be one of the 50 most influential and most listened to streaming talk show hosts. I encourage you to go to his website, agenda21radio.news, agenda21radio.news. Paul takes on issues surrounding the United Nations Agenda 21, and most people don't know that the United Nations in 1992 came up with a plan, a design that will control virtually every aspect of your life. But they did, and the plan is in effect, and unfortunately, fairly efficient. Under the guise of environmentalism, the United Nations Agenda 21 is in reality a means to destroy capitalism and redistribute the wealth of the United States. It is my honor to welcome back Paul Preston. Paul, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, Paul, last time you were on, you brought up a model, a movement, the New California Movement, and it really energized our listener base. I had a tremendous amount of feedback of folks that were really energized because you pointed as what's currently being done in California with this New California model, but also what every state in the union could model a similar movement. Now, about 2-3 weeks ago, there was some information out that the California breakaway state model into three states was finished, was over. And many people assumed that this was the movement you spoke of, but it was not, correct?
That's correct.
And in fact, your model and movement is alive and well and moving forward. Please educate every one of our listeners on the New California movement and how it was separate and distinct from this three breaking California into three state model.
Well, you know, first of all, thanks to you, Dave, and all of your listeners. I really want to thank everybody who's tuned in to New California and what you're doing. But we actually right now we're doing some research down here in Los Angeles at the Gene Autry Museum about New California. So well, you're getting this live from Gene Autry Museum.
Well, so educate us. Tell us what's happening there.
Well, we're just doing some research about the early Californians and what are known as the Californios, which it's interesting. There's no history in California about the Californios. And they were the first ones to declare independence of California from Mexico in 1836. There's no history, very little history on them.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Yeah, funny, right? We'd hate to repeat right. something that led to right to the breakup of an entity. So Paul, educate folks on the current New California movement and where you are, because many people are so confused because they thought that your movement went away because they confused it with the three-state model that was discussed.
Right, and that was a program that was proposed, first of all, in 2012 and 2014 by venture capitalist Tim Draper out of Silicon Valley. And his notion was to break up California into six states. And I interviewed him twice on my radio show and interviewed him offline four times. And I was kind of hoping that he might want to join forces with the Jefferson movement at the time because I was in leadership with them because I realized the value that the only way to save this nation, even back then, from the totalitarians and the communists that we have here in California through our legislature and Jerry Brown, because remember, he was reelected for a third and fourth term, really, I think, unconstitutionally and illegally here in California. Hmm. So Tim Draper, who actually turns out to be a friend of Jerry Brown, proposes the six-state solution. And I thought it back then it was really kind of funky. It didn't really conform to the Constitution. And so he went out and attempted to do it with the six-state solution, spent $5 million on it, and I told him it was going to fail, and it did. So then he comes back after we declare this. We hadn't declared our independence. But in August of last year, we had accumulated, for the New California State movement, we had accumulated 18 counties. Hmm. And all of a sudden, in August of last year, Tim Draper dusts off the old plan, but it's only three states. And we figured that what he was trying to do is distract from us. So we came out and we declared our independence as we accumulated about 26 counties by January of this last year on the 15th of January, we declared independence. The first time a state in the United States has declared its independence and the formation of a new state from a pre-existing state, and that last time was 1861 with West Virginia. And so we declared our independence at that time, and lo and behold, Draper comes out, and he gathers 6 million signatures, 600,000 signatures, and which was they only needed about 300,000 of those to get on the ballot. So he gets on the ballot, but we knew we had a winner in New California because on Twitter, for several days following our Declaration of Independence, we were number one worldwide.
Whoa.
On Twitter. And so we knew we had what we had, but we also knew that the strategy of the other side was basically to knock us out with Draper. And so Draper went forward, he got the signatures, he actually got on the ballot, and as I said early on with everybody, that Tim Draper's three-state solution will go down in flames, it's dead on arrival, mm-hmm. and the reality check is that Tim Draper's program was actually dead at the seam before it ever got started. So the California State Supreme Court, the liberal State Supreme Court, back in, I think it was June, they decided to take him off the ballot, and they voted 6-0 to take him off the ballot because it wasn't constitutional. He wasn't doing what we were doing mm-hmm. and what we're currently doing, following the Constitution. So we purposely went down low because people were being confused by three-state and us, and we decided we're going to go ahead and build out our counties. We accumulated 51 counties of the 58 counties of California. We are also building our county committees, exactly what was the process that was done in West Virginia. We come to our first convention for a constitution on July 21st, and we passed three resolutions. We put together our bicameral legislature. We are setting up our government. We're now going forward with our second constitutional convention, the 5th and 6th of October. were actually making this happen. And I got to tell you, the president is watching.
He's also listening.
I know.
He heard your last interview on this show. And I do believe that he's listening. And so let's assume he's listening again today. What can the president do to help the new California movement?
Well, he's already done a lot. In fact, just the other day, he's committed he's going to work with the House and the Senate. They're passed a bill to improve the water situation and storage capacity for California. We always said the California Water State Water Project has not been complete. It was stopped during the Brown administration, Jerry Brown's administration in the 70s the first time. And, of course, what he's done over the last 8 years is he's literally just destroyed the infrastructure of the California water system, because you remember Jerry Brown and Babbitt from the Clinton administration, they want to tear dams down. They actually want to rewild California, return it back to its natural state and run the people off. That's their philosophy. It's a total Agenda 21 philosophy. Well, of course, we almost lost the Oroville Dam, as you know. We've reported that on your show numerous times. That was a Jerry Brown catastrophe. I believe they were deliberately trying to set up. So the president is doing things right now, helping us out with the water storage situation. And we've committed, as New California, we've been telling people we will complete the California Water Project that was stopped in the 70s. In the 80s by Jerry Brown. And we will end this whole drought charade that's going on. And by his actions and by our actions coming in with a brand new constitution, we will destroy all those petty water districts and so on that have been choking off water from the farmers and raising rates to people in California all the way across the board. And not just New California is going to benefit here, but California as a whole will benefit as well. Of course, there won't be that many counties left in California when we get done. But, you know, we will have an obligation to provide them water, of course.
Paul, folks, we're speaking with Paul Preston. You can follow him at Agenda 21 Radio, agenda21radio.news. So, Paul, define the borders. So the plan is to divide California into two states, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So everyone has a picture of California. What would the new California plan look like?
Well, the new California plan would take up approximately 85% of those landmass of California. All the rural areas of California are up for grabs in New California. That includes coastal counties and so on. What it comes down to is that there'll be seven counties or parts of counties left for old California. And the rest of the counties or parts of counties would remain in New California. And that the borders would range from Oregon all the way across Nevada, Arizona, down to Mexico, Imperial County, San Diego, up to Orange County. L.A. County would be part of old California. San Francisco County and that whole area in the Bay Area would be part of old California up to Sacramento. And we would be taking up all those coastal counties down there as well. So there will be about 18 million new Californians versus 21 million urbanized Californians remaining in California. So what that does is it gives us representation we don't have right now. Mm-hmm. There's 18 million Californians that are not represented either in the state legislature or in the House or in the Senate. This is just an obscenity what's going on here. And, of course, that's been because of the court decision of Reynolds versus Sims, which we got away from the federal model as being applied for senators in the states and so on. So that means we don't have literally any representation. We will give back representation to New Californians. We will pick up approximately we'll bring in about 23 or 25 seats for the House of Representatives and, of course, two senators. All this area is very, very conservative. Obviously, anywhere in rural California, it's conservative. And, we will control the Mexican border. We'll absolutely commit 110% of our National Guard anytime the president needs it to protect and defend. In fact, you know, we say this every week. We read our grievances every week. We're up to 35 now. We're going to have our 35th grievance. And we're now getting calls. We committed to 40 grievances in our Declaration of Independence process starting in January 15th. We committed to 40 grievances. We're now getting consensus that we're going to go to an additional 55, making it 95 grievances in the year ahead. So we have a long ways to go. These grievances are very, very effective, but we state in these grievances every single week, Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, which requires, it's a guarantee clause, that we're guaranteed a Republican form of government. We're guaranteed to be free from invasion, and also free from domestic violence. That's the guarantee clause. Right now, we have all of that going on. We do not have representation in the state legislature. It's a monoparty dictatorship run by a dictator, but it's a communist variety. It clearly is. This is communism on steroids, and that we have absolutely no legislative control. The Constitution of California has been changed so much. What we have is an 11-month legislature. Now, think about this. 11 months every year we have a legislature that meets. And these guys can pass legislation in the Assembly and in the House all in one day, and the next morning Jerry Brown signs it. Mm-hmm. And there's hundreds and hundreds of bills going through, and, of course, with each bill goes a tax, with each bill goes a regulation, with each bill goes a fee. And it's choking out middle-income people. People are fleeing the state. I have one person that's with our New California, and he has a business, and his business is a really pretty good business, and he's got a lot of employees. And one of our people went in to talk to him the other day, and they found him asleep at his desk in his business. And you know why he was asleep? Because he worked two other jobs so he can pay the fees for his employees to remain on benefits and be employed by him. He's making no money. But he's working two additional jobs just to keep them employed. That's what's going on in California. Now, that's a new California.
Paul, you have mentioned that 51 out of 58 counties in California are in support of your movement, correct?
Yeah, all are part of counties, yes.
So so many people say to me, "Oh, this sounds fantastic." And you know, now we're going to have all these folks are going to have representation. They're going to have their own senators, their own congressmen, their own state legislature. But then people say, "Well, wait a minute. You have a dictatorial government that you've actually already identified with Jerry Brown as the current governor of one California, if we want to call it, a state legislature that's out of control, your congressmen and senators representing California, for the most part, not exclusively, but for the most part, are of the globalist nature." Many people say, well, how can this succeed? What steps do they have? How can they break away when they have this overlord that's so dominating?
Well, you know, that's a very good question, but I think the timing is right. Knowing that we have the support of the president is everything. And, of course, with what's going on, there's a real strong movement in California, which is the New California Movement. Everywhere we go, we're down here in Los Angeles right now, and people are asking questions about it. It's like, you know, they have hope now for California. We have people calling us. We're not going to leave if this succeeds. It's really starting to catch fire, but it's been Donald Trump who's brought all this on board because people realize we can actually make the change here with doing the right thing. We know that what's going to happen to California is going to hit that financial roadblock here by March and April of this next year. We understand Silicon Valley is not going to be bringing in the money for the taxes and so on. Their capital gain stuff is just not going to be there for them. Now, California, because it's a tax and spend state and spend, so a continuation of spending. Last year, California spent $26 billion, unauthorized by the citizens, I might add, on illegal foreign nationals coming to this country. $26 billion. Mm-hmm. So California is at what some financial people say, a hair trigger a budget right now for its state budget. They predict that by 2019 in March, all those capital gains are going to start drying up in Silicon Valley. And I was just in Silicon Valley last night, and I gave a town hall, and everybody's in agreement that lives there, and they understand it. They get exactly what I'm saying. It's going to go in the tank, and California is going to go downhill, and they're going to be desperate for cash in the next 6 to 10 months. And at that point in time, it's going to be ripe for a big change, and we have a strategy in play in which we're going to follow the Constitution, go figure. We're going to follow the Constitution, Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution, where we the people are doing our due diligence by forming our county committees, and we're going to go talk directly to the representatives, the assembly members and the senators, which is required by the Constitution. We're not going to go out and try and run an election or talk to the governor or talk to county people because they're part of the problem. What do we need them for? They're part of the problem. So we remain unconvinced that they can solve any problem. That's why we're going to do the first step, which is convince our state legislature to let us go, and we will find a financial solution for their problem because, see, we will not be bound in New California with 85% of the assets of New California, including the farming, including the timbering, including the mining, including the resources in New California that old California will have. We will have the principle of being able to create our own new free economy. We will unchain California's economy and bring it back to a huge thriving economy that this country has never seen before.
What do you anticipate Jerry Brown and this globalist-controlled current state legislature, how will they try to stop this?
I'd rather not discuss that, but I can tell you they are trying to stop it like crazy. And we know that. And all I can say is we're vigilant. We're taking steps to be proactive against them to try and stop us. But the bottom line is, if we stay on this straight and narrow, we're going to follow in the footsteps of all the other states. There's only been three states that have done this process. We're number four, and we have followed to the T those states and their process constitutionally. And what I can tell you is that any time a nation or a state declares independence first, and they go through the independence process, and they do the grieving, they do the due diligence, they build their county support, every single time they've gotten a new state, it's almost like rolling a big rock off a cliff. There's just no point in it coming back to the top of the cliff. It ain't coming. It's going to end up in a new state, and that's exactly what's going to happen to California, New California. It's going to break off from legally, constitutionally, without violence from California.
What are the three states that have done this before, Paul?
I think it was Kentucky and one of the Carolinas and West Virginia. I may be wrong on that, but I think that was the following. Now, Vermont was not. Vermont was before the Constitution was written. And I'm giving you the ones from 1783 on. We're following the language of 1783 from the Constitution, Article 4, Section 3. And like I said, it's only been done three times. We're number four, and we will succeed.
And have they thrown the legal... just as what happened with this previous guy that was going to do six states and then three states, where the state Supreme Court stepped in and said, no. Have there been any inklings that they're going to try to throw the old legal hammer at you guys yet?
Not yet, but we expect it to happen, and we welcome it. Bring it on. That's what we're saying, is bring it on, because we have the First Amendment to protect us.
They
can't defeat that.
Paul, 0 to 100% chance. What are the chances that you believe the new California movement will succeed?
80%.
Paul, how can folks learn more and how can they follow you?
NewCaliforniaState.com, NewCaliforniaState.com. And there's a message center in there. You can message me there.
Paul, I'd like to thank you. You are an incredible freedom fighter, and 24/7 you are on guard, and we truly thank you for everything that you are doing to enlighten every single one of us that is focused on the freedom, not just of California, but of every state in our union. Folks, you're listening to Operation Freedom. Dr. Dave Janda broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at Wham Talk 1600.
And there you have it. A little bit of an interview with me. With me on Dave Janda, Dr. Dave Janda's show, coming to you from Michigan. This was the interview that was done Sunday. And yes, according to Mr. Janda and other sources, the president was listening. I guess it's sort of like a little game changer, isn't it, when you realize that the president is listening. So you're... Sundays, you give the president a briefing. That's basically what we did. I mean, it's kind of fundamentally what we did, don't you think? Isn't that amazing? You know, when I think about it, you know, what better way for the president to get a briefing on New California than from radio, you know, radio shows, the old-fashioned way? Isn't that interesting? Who needs, you know, Google and Facebook and all that other stuff, right? When you can go and just turn on the radio and listen to it right then and there, the old-fashioned way. What's really going to happen is the old-fashioned way, in my opinion, is going to come back. We're going to get into that. Anyway, so anyway, that's, I thought it was pretty interesting. I was very, very pleased to turn off the alarm. Very, very pleased that to be on the show with Dr. Dave Janda. It's always been a wonderful thing in order to be on his show and to be with him. You know, he's really a pretty neat guy, and we really appreciate his being able to put our story out about New California. And those of you that are wondering about New California and all the different things that are going on, we have just tons and tons and tons of things happening going on right now for New California. And you can visit our website, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. Just amazing, the growth of what's happening for us. And that's the other thing, too. We have so many things happening. We've got the October 5th and 6th Constitutional Convention coming up. You heard that being talked about on the show. We're going to be going further on. Going further on about what's happening at the convention. We're going to be rolling that out actually tomorrow. We're going to be rolling out the speakers. We're going to be rolling out the agenda, all the different schedule of events, and the things, the expectations of what's going to come out of, what is going to come out of the convention. A lot of work goes in it, and a lot of people that are working very, very hard to pull this whole thing off. We're going to be systemizing this one. And so that when we go to the third and fourth one, we'll probably have five of these conventions total, and one big grand one, probably, I'm going to say within a year on this process, and it'll be about the same time as when we complete the grievances. Now, for those of you that are wondering why don't I say grievances, yeah, we have grievances as we, you listeners out there, grievances that we lay down every Thursday at 11 o'clock. We're going to be laying them down now, today. Grievance number 35. And we spoke originally that we would have 40 grievances for 40 weeks. Well, many people are saying, there's more grievances. You can't stop at 40. You got to go more. All right. In the right. So we will. We're going to go for an additional 55 grievances. An additional 55 grievances. Making a total number of 95 grievances against the state of California. Against the state of California. That's what we're going to be doing. Yeah. 95. I know that 95 just sort of has a ring to it, doesn't it? But we're going to be laying those down, and this is our way to express our opinion as to why we are doing what we are doing, why we are forming this new state called New California. I want to make a correction here. Maine, Kentucky, and it's coming from my sources, and West Virginia are the three states that split from the other states. Best bet is that California has to go bankrupt and request a return to territory status. This is from one of my listeners. That's not going to happen. It will not return to territory status. There's a little thing called the president steps in at that point. Anyway, thought just let you know about that. So we're going to be laying down those grievances. We're going to be laying down the complaints. We're going to be also at the same time getting our constitution together and then starting to form what that an semblance of the government as it might lay out for New California in the real world. Then also the big thing in this, in the next year, we're going to be very, very busy at the solidification of our counties, which is what we're doing right now. We're laying out the counties, getting all the counties together in preparation for the big assault, if you will. The big assault, we're This is, you know, when the invasion of Normandy in World War II, they had to assemble the troops. They had to get their act together. They had to get everybody together. They had to get the men and the materiel together for the invasion to go across the channel, assemble all these ships and all these boats, do all these things, and then finally load everybody up on June 6th, actually the night of the 5th, in the early morning hours of the 6th, paratroopers started to descend around Normandy. The ships started, they left the harbors, and they went across the channel. And in the early morning hours of the 6th, they climbed into their Higgins boats, and they got pointed in the right direction at all the different beaches of Normandy, and they went ashore. Isn't that interesting how that all played out, huh? And that's what we're doing right now. We're in this phase for the next 2-3 months of really pulling together the counties and getting them organized as strong as possible. Because there is going to be an assault. There is going to be an invasion. And it's going to be we, the people, invading the space, if you will, of our servants, our public servants, those that serve us. Listen, I know that that's going to be a whole different feeling down there in Sacramento, isn't it? A whole different feeling. The situation is going to be that the servants are going to have to serve, and which they're not serving right now. And they're doing a very poor job of it, actually. A very, very poor job of serving you and I in California. And by extension, especially to the rest of the country, all of you out there that look to California for leadership and have looked for California for leadership for a long, long time. And now it's been misguided, misdirected, and look what it's done to the rest of the nation. That's why Dr. Janda was so excited to have us on the show to talk about something that's going to hold out so much hope to the rest of the nation as well. And it does. It really, truly does, this new California. We get it all the time when people call, when people want to know about us, what's going on with us. We get it all the time. Anyway, coming up to a break and come back. More of New California. And more about the United States. We'll be back.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-600-5860. That's 800-600-5860. 800-600-5860.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-5095 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-5095. Again, that's 800-711-5095.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer, to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Okay. Jenna McKay is going to be joining us at the top of the hour. She's a trafficked survivor and victims advocate. She's going to be with us talking about sex trafficking, human trafficking, and flesh and slavery, as we call it. McKay, who shares her traumatic experiences to educate communities and inspire hope to those still suffering. Jenna started the Jenna McKay Foundation to mentor trafficked victims and help them back into society after trauma, and to train law enforcement, hospital staff, and the public on child sex trafficking, human trafficking. She hires survivors to train with her, to give them an employment opportunity, and gives lectures and presentations educating communities about human trafficking. And with her personal experiences, testimony, and professional connections, Jenna is most effective in meeting the immediate psychological needs of those recently rescued and on the path of recovery. She challenges communities to shed light on this violent criminal industry and to bring healing to survivors of trafficking. Her story is soon to be published. And we're going to be talking to her. There you go. I mean, really? There you go. Okay, we got a couple stories here. One of them is a story on elections regarding New California. And I think this is of salient interest and import at this point in time. And this is something that we did put up a little last week so that things are... happening in California. We talked last week about the Trump credited with funding California's first new water storage in 40 years. Did we talk about that? Yeah, I think we did yesterday. It says President Donald Trump is being credited for the passage of a new provision through the U.S. House of Representatives on Thursday of last week that will provide funding to help California to build its first water storage infrastructure in 40 years. This is big. This is a big one. This is a sign that the president is on board, as we were talking about. A big sign that he's on board. The other one that's really important, though, and this comes by way of our Trinity County person, a person up there in Trinity County. Her name is Diane Richards, guest contributor. And California elections, hacking democracy. This is an attack. This is an attack. It's a statement of fact about the state of the California electoral process, why it is so discredited. in the far-flung northwestern corner of America in the Emerald Triangle, renowned for cannabis production, the battle to restore the essence of our republic's democratic process of free and true elections has been waged for years. Tea Party patriots, dreadlocked Rastafarians, ponytail hippies, refugees from Laos, and a cast of characters out of the Old West are trying to wrestle the American dream of liberty back from an entrenched and corrupt government controlled by Democrats. In the once truly golden state of California, boasted the best of everything, jobs, education, food, entertainment, and a very high quality of life for Americans, with its 55 electoral vote dominance and 53 U.S. congressional representative payload, California became the winner-take-all target for those willing to corrupt the crown jewel for their own means and for communism. Call it by any other name, liberalism, socialism, or progressivism, but it's the same result, communism. Like ping pong. After Ronald Reagan won two terms as president, coincidentally, a new plan was hatched. Voting should no longer be manually counted. It should be done by machines, which quickly evolved to voting directly on machines. Two brothers, Bob and Todd Yuselich, led the way, bankrolled by California billionaire H.F. Amundson, with both Diebold Election Systems, headquartered in Ohio, and Election Systems and Software, ES&S, headquartered in Omaha, Nebraska, and thus controlled 80% of the voting in the U.S. Now the ball was in play. Finger-pointing began. It was the Republicans controlling the elections, then it was the Democrats, back and forth like ping pong. Key electoral races could be won by the person running the elections office, for local races, and more by those controlling the voting machines and the sophomore that ran it all. Suddenly, the crown jewel, California, once the bastion of conservatism, the state that gave America Ronald Reagan, was for the taking. And they did so by using the newest technology, computer tabulating voting machines, and strategically placed election officials and staff. That is a fact. Let me read that again. Strategically placed election officials and staff. Inaccurate vote counting scanners in Humboldt County, a world-renowned destination for cannabis connoisseurs within the Emerald Triangle. An unusual collaboration occurred during the 2008 presidential election. The Humboldt Election Transparency Project was able to convince the local elections officer to let them recount all the ballots after the election. In fact, the county even purchased a high-end $25,000 scanner for them to use. They found that the Diebold AccuVote ballot counting scanners weren't accurate at all. In fact, it had deleted 197 votes and deleted its audit trail with no trace even that it even happened at all. Oh, God, really? The report was immediately sent to the newly elected Secretary of State, Deborah Bowen, who had already commissioned a top-to-bottom review of California's electronic voting systems to determine their security. When the University of California computer science teams revealed were unreliable systems that were vulnerable to being attacked, Bowen decertified the systems to accolades from the public for her courage. Yet by December 2009, under intense pressure from the manufacturers, Bowen recertified Diebold, AccuVote, and ES&S use of 42 protocols were implemented. The King of Craft. That brings us to the heart of the Emerald Triangle, Trinity County. King of Craft, known as the most corrupt county in California outside of Los Angeles, Trinity was once a self-sufficient logging, mining, and ranching motherlode of prosperity and independence until the Democrats took over. And they did it through control of the black ballot box, namely the Diebold AccuVote machines. Now it boasts an economy of $1 billion a year producing cannabis. All black market underground, with not a dime going to the county unless you count the corrupt law enforcement authorities taking their share via federal programs of interdiction. and the interdiction is well planned right after the harvest. After all the buds are carefully trimmed, do the authorities show up to do their own harvest, where the bulk of the plant is weighed and impounded and destruction, but the vulnerable buds disappear, sometimes via law enforcement helicopters, right out of the fields. Man, is she pointing out a lot of corruption, huh? Deep state farming. Yes, the deep state has their own way of farming in Trinity County. They farm for greenbacks, as well siphoning off government mandate funds via contracts from a county of just 14,000 that receives $120 million a year but has not built one building in decades. Locals ran for office but could never seem to win against the strategically placed outsiders. This goes on all the time in California, by the way. Sometimes entire communities were purged from voter rolls. Oh, no. Can you imagine that? Voter rolls. Sometimes entire communities were taken out. In fact, in 2014, the entire retirement community of veterans from World War II and Korea were purged, even though they vote each election, having a voting party, where they get together for a barbecue and to mark their vote by mail ballots. Except that year, they didn't get any ballots. Not one. They had been purged illegally. No more Mr. Nice Cowboy. After one of them, a cowboy, was told by a retired county supervisor, "Don't waste your time running for office. We decide who gets elected." The ragtag group of patriots and cannabis growers decided to get certified in election observations using the Election Integrity Project. They had their manuals and IDs at the ready and watched each polling place, and things were a lot wider than their manuals and training had prepared them for. In the middle of voting, the election officer came to the largest polling place, removed the black ballot box, and put in its stead another one of those protests of a contingency of election observers. She waved them off and left for the elections office with the already voted ballots inside the box. This is and was an important election that included the county sheriff race, go figure, and the election officer. Calls and hundreds of written complaints to the Secretary of State's office, even by lawyers, garnered only nothing to see here response. Oh, that would be, let's see, who was that? Prior to Javier Becerra. Kamala Harris. Here it is. I'm sorry, it wasn't Kamala Harris. It was Alex Padilla, the racist bigot. Warned him he wanted no reports on any fraud, voter election. And you guessed it, the usual suspects won. A funny thing happened. The ragtag team decided to ramp it up for the 2016 presidential election, as law provides for observing right in the elections office from the day the election process started, months before the election, throughout the election, manning polls, and until the election was finally certified. The elections officer's response was the opposite of Humboldt's elections officer. This is absolutely an amazing story. We don't have enough time to finish it right here. We're going to come back to this. We might even get Diane on the show. That would probably be the best bet. Anyway, we got a break for time now. We're going to come back in the next hour. Jenna McKay is going to be with us, and she's going to be a traffic victim. She's going to be talking about what it is to be a trafficked victim in the trafficking in human flesh and slavery. Remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news, and also newcaliforniastate.com. You got this story and others in the newcaliforniastate.com. And we will be, of course, making sure that everybody gets along with that. And we'll be sorting through some things. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Like I said, visit our website, agenda21radio.news, and also newcaliforniastate.com. And remember, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.